Good morning. I'm so glad that you could be along with us this morning for Words of Truth. I believe all Americans enjoy freedom. People die on a regular basis trying to enter America because of the freedom. Men and women have died to protect that freedom. Patrick Henry once said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." And French writer Alexis de Tocqueville, after visiting America in 1831, said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. All Americans can enjoy freedom. But do we as Americans truly understand our freedom in this world? Thousands of people every year come to America with the hope of being free, and many die trying. Do we simply take our freedom for granted? What about those of us who are Christians? Do we understand our freedom from this world? Do we understand the sacrifice made for this freedom? Do we take it for granted? Well, what is freedom? If you look it up in the dictionary, it'll read, "The quality or state of being free, as the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action, liberation from slavery or restraint, or from a power of another." Freedom is also known and associated with independence and liberty. Freedom is a choice. Voltaire said, "Man is free at the moment he wishes to be." So let's talk about a freedom that's for everybody. No matter what country you live in, what continent, wherever you are on this earth, this freedom is for you and you can obtain it. First, we must know that we can be free if we choose. If we choose to be disciples of Jesus, we can be free. John 8, 31 and 32 reads, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" And if we choose to commit to Jesus, we can be free. John 8, 33 through 36 continues, "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" And we can be free if we choose to be bound to Jesus. Galatians 5, 1 reads, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." You see, a yoke is something that in the older times they used to connect two cattle together, or two oxen. And this yoke of slavery means to be bound together with sin. And I had heard it said that back when they used to use these yokes, they would take a trained oxen and connect it with a young oxen so that that trained oxen could teach the other one how to plow the field or how to pull the wagon. And think about being yoked together with Jesus instead of sin. Whoever we're yoked together with is going to train us and going to show us how to go. Do we want to be yoked with Jesus so that he can teach us, or yoked with sin or slavery? We can be free from the bondage of sin if we choose to be. Freedom from sin must be achieved by accepting the call. We read in Isaiah chapter 42, beginning with verse 6. Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prisons. Freedom in Christ needs to be proclaimed. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And freedom in Christ is open to everybody who believes. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." So how do we achieve freedom in Christ? Well, first, we must hear the truth. We must know the truth. And Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and that hearing is the Word of God. In order for us to believe something, we must hear about it, and this belief involves faith. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." We've been given everything that we need to have faith in God. We just must read it and believe it. We must obey the truth once we've heard it. Romans 6 17 and 18, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And in order to achieve freedom in Christ, we must be with Christ. John chapter 15 at verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches," Jesus says. "He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." And there are many benefits found in the bondage with Christ. A Christian is released from that bondage of sin when he's bound with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." We can be released from that bondage of sin. And a Christian has unity with other Christians. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 26. "For you all are the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And a Christian can have everlasting life. Romans 6, 22 and 23, "But now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, what will you do with your freedom? Will it be a light for the rest of the world to see? Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And Philippians 2:14-16, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Will you proclaim the freedom that you have, as Luke 4:18-19 tells us? Will you be firm on your liberty, like Galatians 5:1 explains? Will your freedom produce fruits after its kind, like we read in Romans 6:22? You have the opportunity to be free right now. No, this isn't a freedom to which you have to take an oath before a judge. You don't have to prove your citizenship from another country to gain this freedom, or prove your citizenship of a country to gain this freedom. You must simply first believe. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you can't just stop there. We're told in Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We must be repentant and change from our sinful lives. But we can't stop there. We must confess Jesus as Lord. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But we can't stop there. You must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 3:21 reads, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But would you believe we can't stop there? We must continue to walk in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. So in order to have this freedom, we've got to go through the steps of the plan of salvation that God has outlined. We must first believe. Then we must repent of our sinful lives. We must confess Jesus as Lord. We must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. And at that point, we must rise to walk in a new life and try to live like Christ as much as we can, knowing we're going to fall, knowing we're going to mess up, but knowing that God is there to pick us right back up. We can't be free. We can't have true freedom unless we're in Christ. And we can't get in Christ unless we do what the Bible says. As we're thinking about freedom, let us not forget the freedom that is found in Christ Jesus. And let us take it and show it to everybody else that we can as we all strive to get to heaven. But let us remember we've got to do it God's way. And if we can help you understand that way, let us know. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. You could stop by and see us for one of our services. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible study. Then at 10:25, we begin our worship service. We also have another worship service at 6 p.m. on Sundays. We meet on Wednesdays for Bible study at 7 p.m. You could stop by and see us at any time. We'd be glad to have you. If you'd like, you can call me at 304-727-0761. You could email me at wvdj105@aol.com. If you'd like, you can look us up on Facebook at Washington Street CFC, or check us out online at www.washingtonstcofc.org. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for Words of Truth.